Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Molly Jongfest, no relationship to Kim Jong-un. I'm a left-wing pundit and a writer at The Atlantic and Vogue.
And I'm Andy Levy, former Fox News and CNN HLN guy and current cable news conscientious objector.
And I'm producer Jesse Cannon, and I'm here to make sure things don't go too far off the rails.
We're here to have fun, smart conversations with the wisest and funniest people in science and media and politics that help make what's happening today clearer.
Our world has been turned upside down, and on The New Abnormal, we'll talk about the people who got us into this mess and how we'll hopefully get ourselves out of it.
Hello, and welcome to another Sunday bonus episode of The New Abnormal, and we thank you so much for being here. Today, we have an extra special guest with Jerry Stahl, who's, of course, a screenwriter and a novelist who you may know from movies like Permanent Midnight, and we're going to talk to him all about his new book, 999, One Man's Tale of Depression, Psychic Torment, and a Bus Tour of the Holocaust. But first, let's have some fun. Are y'all ready to listen to some clips?
Yes.
You say y'all?
He's Southern now.
Molly has met him. My childhood next door neighbor moved up to New Jersey from Texas, and it really had an effect on me at a young age.
Okay.
Let's all.
We all are
yes.
ready.
Yes. Okay, so the clip of the week, we started off the week very strong. Representative Mary Miller had a little bit of a weird quote that we're going to listen to.
Oh, I remember it well. President Trump, on behalf of all the MAGA patriots in America, I want to thank you for the historic victory for white life in the Supreme Court yesterday.
White life.
Well, she's not wrong.
I know that white life is the one that we should be horrified by, but I'd like to come back to MAGA patriots as well.
Solid points.
You wondered how it could get worse than MAGA.
Right. You know something good is coming after you hear MAGA patriot.
Yes, never, never good.
Obviously, she's saying that she meant to say right to life. But the people who cheered when she said white life don't seem to care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, I think, is a really important detail.
Yeah.
You know, if they're clapping, that's, as we say in the business, a tell.
A tell, yes.
What I'm really impressed with is that, you know, the only other time we heard from her was like literally her first day in Congress where she got caught praising Hitler.
Well, she said you shouldn't praise Hitler, but.
Yes, but.
There was that one thing. It's easy enough in life to never say you shouldn't do something nice about Hitler, but.
Just don't say Hitler. It's so easy to just not say Hitler as a politician.
You don't gotta hand it to Hitler.
No, you don't. Under no circumstances.
So the daughter of former Oklahoma governor turned White House press secretary, who's now running to fill daddy's shoes, she has some thoughts about abortion as well, you know, and that's going to be the theme for our first few clips.
We will make sure that when a kid is in the womb, they're as safe as they are in a classroom, the workplace, a nursing home, because every stage of life has value. No one greater than the other.
Listen, man, well, safe as a classroom. So there's 70 lockdown drills later. Yeah, safe as a classroom, a workplace, or a nursing home. Because as we know from COVID, the safest place to be is a nursing home.
Also, how many kids does she think are in nursing homes?
Well, the ones that have COVID. The problem is when you only care about the life of a blastula or fetus and nothing else, you sound like a fucking hypocrite.
Yeah, and an idiot, which is what she sounds like here.
Yeah. Problem is they don't care about life in the classroom.
No, or the workplace, or the nursing home.
I really want to know if there was any pushback in the speech room at all on that one, like, or if it was just like, nope, no notes.
It's pretty funny, though, that they decided to cook that one up. I have to say, she's very likely going to be the governor of the great state of Arkansas, no doubt. And it's funny because I always think about, like, those Trump kids could have really, and I say this as a beneficiary of nepotism myself, really the one place that nepotism will still absolutely do it for you is in this Republican Party.
Unless you're a Giuliani.
Oh, good point.
Oh, good point. Big
Damn,
head.
Andy.
Poor big head. Well, he almost did it.
We should say we taped this on the day after one
Young
Andrew
Giuliani.
And he goes down to total, just boringest person ever, Lee Zeldin.
Yeah, but I will say Lee Zeldin was at least in Congress. I think you give Rudy Giuliani another year or two and he can
Andrew
win
Giuliani
Republican.
Or Rudy?
Andrew, oh yeah, Rudy. By in another year or two, he'll be in jail, Rudy. But hopefully, anyway, Andrew seems undoubtedly will eventually win a primary in our blue state so that he can lose a general.
If he's smart, he'll move upstate or to Long Island and run for like the House or something like that. He could probably win there pretty easily.
I figured the reason they were in Staten Island the other day is they're coming for Malitzkus's seat.
Oh,
that's an easy
Staten
one.
Island, also a good call. Yeah.
Isn't it Mikitakos?
Oh, yes.
Maya Tacos?
Here's the one thing. You fact-checking me on the pronunciation of a name is not one I'm going to take
sign.
With a lot of
yeah,
weight.
Things are not going well.
I'm assuming the moon is about to crash into the earth at this point.
I'm taping this from a foreign country.
It's true. You are.
Yes. You now only know how to pronounce Boris Johnson properly.
That's right.
Well, now you just gave away the foreign country.
Speaking of names that might not get pronounced right, Republican congressional candidate Yesley Vega, who's running against Abigail Spanberger in Virginia, she went with, they call in politics, the full Aiken.
Now, the left will say, well, what about in cases of rape or incest? I'm a law enforcement officer. I became a police officer in 2011.
Yeah.
I've worked one case where as a result of a rape, the young woman became pregnant.
Really?
And it's my job, number one, as a believer, right, to give you all of the resources available.
Right.
If you decide to deviate and do something else, we don't stop loving you.
Right.
That's when you need even more support,
right?
Because of the data that we have, it's been proven that women that do move.
Wait, I didn't hear the most important part.
She said that basically no one ever gets pregnant from rape.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've been told that too. Many doctors are saying.
Molly, I just would like to point out she was a law enforcement officer, so she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, right.
As we call the Eric Adams defense.
I think it's important to point out here that these Republicans seem to not know a lot about science at all, or like biology or how the human body works in any way, shape, or form.
It's a bit of a theme.
I mean, I don't know. It just seems like, you know, the people who don't understand how viruses spread and don't understand how masks work also seem to not understand how babies are made.
Yeah, and they're proud of all of that. That's the weird thing, is that they're not, like, I don't know. When I don't know something, I look it up. I want to know it. They are just, they're proud. They're proud of what they don't know. They're proud of believing things that aren't true. It's a lot of fun to deal with.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who have really, really demented views, self-described incel and leader of the America First movement, Nick Fuentes, has a thought on what America is about to get and how excited he is about it.
The Supreme Court has a blueprint to revisit all those decisions and say, guess what? It's not in there. So that means that banning gay marriage is back on the menu. Banning sodomy is back on the menu. Banning contraceptives is back on the menu. And basically, we're having something like Taliban rule in America, in a good way. We're having something like a Catholic Taliban rule in America.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, that's like the worst restaurant ever.
I don't know. I mean, I love that he was like, the Taliban is good. First of all, I want to point out, again, the idea that evangelical Christians ruining America is not a disturbing enough, you know, oh, we have to pull in other cultures. No, They're bad themselves. They drowned women in the Salem witch trials. They, you know, there's a long history of terrible behavior by puritanicals in this country. You don't have to bring other countries into it. Let's just, there's been so much American cruelty. Also, he's just giddy with the idea of them banning birth control. I'm sorry, but I don't see how this helps him.
He literally describes, like, he's got to remember, he throws people out of his group that sleep with women. And he literally, like, won't touch a woman because he hates them so much.
Oh, all right. Well, that seems good. Seems like a good guy.
Sometimes it is really easy to believe that the original white people who came here were the Puritans. We're kind of not recovered from that.
Yeah, that's a solid point. Okay, to round things out, so there was really explosive testimony from the January 6th committee yesterday. But Tucker Carlson had better things to discuss as compiled by Media Matters. Here's a compilation of his show right after all the blockbuster testimony yesterday.
Dick's Sporting Goods will pay you $4,000 to abort your baby. How great is that? More solitude, less human connection, less meaning, fewer babies. Brunch on the weekends and Netflix and white wine at night forever. Until you die alone with no descendants to remember you. That's exactly why they're so desperate to take your guns away.
Yeah, very damaging to the economy, having all those children, all that new life.
Why don't you go ahead and chemically castrate them? For the Haitians huddled underneath the bridges at the border in South Texas, they've got a ton of kids too. SSRIs in the water supply. You pampered first world Karen. You expected to eat meat for dinner. You thought you could load your car in the Safeway parking lot with groceries you could afford without being shot to death by armed robbers. In Nigeria, all of this is normal. An entire nation of desperately unhappy grad students. Stop whining and eat your bugs. Shut up and abort your child because times are tough and you got to get back to work. There's a war on. Do your duty.
That's amazing.
They're cut up in strange ways, though. I mean, I never want to defend Tuck Tuck, but there's some strange cuts there.
But I think it's just showing that he spent an entire hour talking about those weird little bizarre,
yes,
mostly untrue things and did not talk at all about Hutchinson's testimony.
Yes. Well, why would he?
No, he wouldn't. Really, the only time you see people on Fox News talking about the testimony is when they're part of the testimony.
Well, or also when they think it's punishing the Democrats, then they'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Like the Mueller testimony where things went really wrong, that they were happy to talk about that on air. It's when things go well that they just ignore it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Let's face it, after a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. I have to make a choice. I can either have a great night or a great next day. That is until I found ZBiotics.
ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic.
It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking.
Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut.
It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day.
ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow.
So, I first gave ZBiotics a try when I was having an existential crisis at a Dave & Buster's. I drank it before my first Dangerous Waters punch, and you wouldn't believe how on top of my game, no pun intended, I felt the very next morning.
Vacations, weddings, birthdays, and reunions. There's so much going on. Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now.
Go to zbiotics.com/abnormal to get 15% off your first order when you use abnormal at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember to head to zbiotics.com/abnormal and use the code abnormal at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Jerry Stahl is a screenwriter and novelist and author of his latest book, 999, One Man's Tale of Depression, Psychic Torment, and a Bus Tour of the Holocaust.
Welcome to New Abnormal, Jerry Stahl.
Pleasure to be here. You're having a tough day, understandably.
But we're very excited to have you, and I'm really excited about this book. Explain to us how you write a Holocaust memoir. It was a little bit of humor. How does that happen?
I don't think it's something you can plan. I decided to go visit the site of some of the greatest crimes of the 20th century, the Dachau, Buchenwald, and Auschwitz, wanting to feel this great well of emotion as one does. And I get there, and the first thing I see is the Auschwitz snack bar. And the people having a nosh after they come, like, you know, toddling out of the ovens. And it just blew me away. And it accidentally became as much about that aspect as about the undeniable tragedy of the thing itself.
Yeah, I know I have like an internal dialogue, which is like, oh, I'm going to write about this. You want to tell us a little bit about how you sort of started doing this too?
Sure. I think everybody has that. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I signed on for this. The real brief background is in about 2016, you know, I come from a family of depressos and suicides, not to brag. And that was sort of locked in pretty hard. And I thought, what about going somewhere where complete and utter bone deep despair is entirely appropriate? What occurred to me was, why not go to the camps? I got Vice magazine, the print, the online mag, not the TV version, and to send me over there. I did a 6-part series. And the horrifying thing about it, before I even got to the camps, is that I signed on for a tour by bus so that I had to overcome my lifelong fear of buses after having some traumatic, you know, Dirty Sanchez-esque experiences as a youngster riding buses with a group of strangers, many of whom who had never even seen a Jew. So there was a certain terror about that before I even got to the site of the real terror. And once I got there, I realized there was this whole other level of reality, if this makes sense, beside the camp. You know, we've all seen the photos, the movies. How can you say anything new about this, needless to say? But what was new for me, and almost accidentally, is one of the first things that happened when I got to Auschwitz is I hear this group of young Filipino girls, I think like 14 or 15, and they're coming at me with their phones out screaming, Kramer, Kramer.
Oh, they think you're Kramer?
They thought I was Michael Richard, is bad enough. I'm being asked to take a selfie at Auschwitz, which seems to be a thing. I'm being asked to do it as a celebrity who I'm actually not. And, you know, what would Emily Post say about that? So rather than create a big drama, because there's kind of a language barrier, I just went ahead and did
and
the
pretended to the be Kramer Michael Richards.
Well, I just let them think I was Michael Richard. I didn't like do a shtick or anything. And meanwhile, this is about the first day or, you know, with this group of people I'm touring with. And they're looking at me like, you know, what the fuck? What's wrong with this guy? You know, I'm over here taking selfies with like teenage girls.
Right.
It just kind of catapulted onward from there. Like with many stories, what you think you're going to do and going to say is completely different from what you end up saying and doing.
I'll say I'm still kind of shocked by the idea that you pretended to be Kramer. No, I'm just kidding.
I have in my defense, I did not pretend to be Kramer, but it would be more of a drama to try to explain.
Yes.
Once I realized what they were saying, did I want to consult like Google Translate to explain that I'm actually not, you know, the actor Michael Richards, some mook who happens to be going to, you know, on a Holocaust bus tour. And I didn't. So yeah, in that sense, I guess I played along, you might say. Why not give the kids a thrill?
Yeah, I'll say.
It was mortifying. Once you realize that, like, I have this, I mean, it's not like there's a dress code, but I mean, people are walking around like, you know, family fun day in Orlando Disney World, you know?
Yeah.
With the I'm with stupid t-shirts, the Megadeth t-shirts and little short pants and, you know, the backwards baseball hats. And I just, there was such a disconnect between not just what I felt, but what I thought I should feel and the reality on the ground with these other tourists going for the post-chamber pizza nosh.
Right. That's what it is, right? I don't know. The idea that you don't feel how you're supposed to feel is a super interesting trope. Can you explain to us, did you feel when you were in the sort of one of the most tragic places in history, were you able to match your internal sorrow with the external sorrow around you or no?
That is a great question. I think one feels obligated to have these deep sort of soul destroying reactions. And what I felt was nothing I feel or think I feel is worthy of what really happened here. You know, you feel like you're stepping on the bones of the dead. And there's just a sense of the complete lack of sanctity, you know, a lack of the sense of what this is, because, you know, people are just lining up, they're slapping on, you know, the first thing that happened to me is I was waiting in line. I got sunburn on the back of my neck because it was Poland in September. And for some reason, it was just really sunny and hot. And I realized I'm like bitching about getting burned at Auschwitz. And I felt horrible. But I think the human condition is like you feel what you feel. And however wholly inappropriate that might be, that's just how it shakes down. And I've always been a believer in the school of writing. I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy, Bruce J. Friedman, New York novelist and playwright, Jewish writer. And I interviewed him once and he said, you know, if you write a sentence that makes you squirm, keep going. In other words, the writers I love, the artists I love, are the ones who say the unsayable. You're not trying to look good, obviously, and I certainly don't look good. I was going through a lot of weird shit and a lot of personal baggage. And one of the questions I have about these camps is like, how long after just some regular Joe or Yosef gets to the camp, do they start, you know, all the stuff about, you know, my ambition, my marriage, my kids, money, success, you know, how soon does that disappear and you become just about survival? And so as a visitor, in my own weird way, I sort of went through that, you know, how soon do you end up forgetting your own shit when faced with the massive trauma? And the reality is, it's always kind of there with you. Short of just jumping on the ground, like wrenching your hair and rolling on ground glass, there is no appropriate response. It occurred to me they should just fence the thing off and people can walk by and look from a distance, because my gut was, you're dishonoring the dead by being here buying refrigerator magnets. But on the other hand, you know, who am I to judge?
Did you feel like you were appropriately miserable for the place, or did you feel just something completely different?
Well, happily, you know, I packed my misery with me. At the same time I was there, I had been asked to do something for ABC based on a book of mine about being an older father with a younger kid. You know, hijinks ensue. It's happy. It's great. And what happened is by the time I was supposed to write this pilot, the marriage had fallen apart. The kids living in Austin, you know, it's just a complete utter change from what they bought. And I'm trying to fake this happy thing as I'm at Auschwitz and Dachau. And I'm like stepping out of block 10, the torture wing at Auschwitz, and unable not to answer my phone. I answer the phone and it's like some creepy exec from ABC saying, "Can you make Jerry less creepy?" I'm dealing with that level of abysmal and kind of mortifying reality, even as I'm going through this. And I think the lesson is, if there is one, is that you bring your humanity with you. And I absolutely felt the kind of majesty of the torment and the sadness. But at the same time, you know, it's like that old Mel Brooks line, you know, tragedy is I get a hangnail, you know, comedy is you fall in a manhole and die. There's a certain horrific reality to that, which I, without realizing or intending to, I think I certainly proved.
It is an interesting idea. It's funny because I went and heard you interviewed by Ben Stiller, who's a famous movie star, but has also been on this podcast before.
And a big fan, by the way.
Oh, well, I'm a big fan of his, but also quite smart, which as an actor is, you know, not the norm. Is that fair? Can I say that?
I think if what you say is true, they won't understand what you're saying.
Quite smart. And you guys were talking about a book that I read because maybe you told me to read it years ago, which is What Makes Sammy Run, which is this very amazing novel about Sammy Glick and Hollywood. And it's part of this genre of these really great 1920s. Is it 1920s, 1930s, 1940s?
Yeah, 20s or 30s, you know, great Bud Schulberg book. Yeah.
Yeah. Great early Hollywood novels like Day of the Locust, that kind of thing.
Written by Jews.
Yeah, written by Jews. And you guys have been trying to make it into a movie for a long time. I think I read you say this in an interview, or you said this to me, is that you can't ever make it because it's such an anti-Semitic picture of Jews.
Well, I believe the unnamed head of a certain studio said to either Ben or I, my memory's a little shaky, probably to Ben, you know, do we need another movie about an ugly Jew? You know?
Yeah.
And I think the answer was apparently we don't. So that, you know, and there's just a stack of them that don't get made. But that was the first thing I ever wrote. I didn't even know how to like indent, you know, on a screenplay when Ben could do that. It was when the money for Permanent Midnight fell out. We had like a year to kill. So we went off and tried to write the thing. But it's a heartbreaker because a million people have tried to do that.
So what are you working on now?
I've got another book called How to Be Depressed.
Ooh.
Which is, you know, another laugh riot, writing from some of the involuntary research I've done over the years, working on another movie, but a paying gig, which I hate to talk about because I think it's the kiss of death to ever mention anything.
Right.
Because then it's like, hey, whatever happened to that thing? And it's like, what usually happens to those things? That's what happened.
Right, exactly.
I'm always working. I mean, at my age, you know, I'm closer to dead than 40. You know?
How old are you?
I am 100 years old.
Yeah, that makes sense then. That's good.
Yeah. No, I'm fucking 68. I mean, I'm embarrassed to still be alive. You know, it's pretty bad for your ex-dope fiend cred.
Right, to live so long.
Not to die young. You just look stupid. But what can you do?
I also was very disappointed to live this long. And I'm telling you that when I turned 21, I thought, oh, well, this is a fluke. And then 30, I thought, oh, no. And now I'm 43. So I'm like cruising well into middle age.
I can't even remember 43, but, you know, God bless.
Yeah. So what happened? Is there a happy ending to the story of your life since you're so old or now?
I'm extremely grateful. I hate people who march out the G word. You know, gratitude. But yeah, things are much better than they have any right to be. I have a couple of great daughters, neither of whom hate me, which is a plus.
Yeah, I love your older daughter. She's great.
Stella's amazing. And I couldn't be prouder. Absolutely. It's just amazing to still be above ground. And I find myself just writing as fast as I can. because you just don't know. I mean, I had the same feeling at 28, mind you, but now it's like a tad more realistic. I don't know how it is in your world, but, you know, people start dropping.
I'm much younger than you are, but certainly, just kidding, I am, though. But yes.
You can brag. I mean, I would if I were.
How long do any of us have on this earth to be unhappy? None of us know, right?
Well, you know, I realized a long time ago, you know, I don't know that I will ever be happy. But you know what I'm going for? I'm going for not making you unhappy by being around. You know, I had a mother. My mother, God rest her tormented soul, she could walk into a room and suddenly everybody would be like, oh my God, I hate myself. And it was like the world's most annoying superpower, you know? So I have spent the bulk of my psycho-emotional work on this earth trying not to be that person.
Energy vampire.
Oh, beautifully put. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I watch a lot of television.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jerry Stahl.
It's a pleasure.
On that note, we'll wrap this episode of The New Abnormal from The Daily Beast. In future episodes, we'll be talking to smart folks from The Daily Beast and beyond, from media, culture, politics, and science, who will help us understand what's happening to our country and the world. We hope you'll subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and share the show on social media. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you again on the next episode.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.